some days.
I chuckle. First, because I know how crazy in love those two are, and second, because it's a relief to hear her joking again. Tears funnel down my cheeks. I don't bother brushing them away. Do you honestly think I don't want you to get everything you want? I'm the one that told you not to wait. That one is a twist of the knife. Of course she wants me to be happy. Envy never crossed my mind. I know. I know you do. I don't know. You were so sad, and I didn't want to rub it in. How are you doing? Silence hangs for a beat. Will keeps talking about fostering. Her tone tentative, I endeavor not to say too much, in fear it might push her in the wrong direction. How do you feel about it? I don't know yet. Let's talk about you. Tell me everything. And I mean everything. Your mother says this guy is hot as fuck. Yeah, I doubt my mother said that. Paraphrasing. She said he's handsome and treats you like a queen. I snuggle into Dane's enormous, down-filled couch while the man she speaks of is at a network dinner meeting. Does Dane treat me like a queen? He does, when he's not going Cro-Magnon on me and stomping around and grumbling about mushroom heads and leather belts.
Yeah, he does.
Are you in love with him?
I wish I could say no, but I can't. He's wonderful, T. He's wonderful in ways I never even knew a man could be. It's kind of scary.
I bet.
If anyone knows my triggers, it's Tina. I picked him purposely because I didn't think there was a snowball's chance in hell of this happening.
Never say never,
she says. A throwaway comment. Little does she know the impact of those three simple words. What did you say? Getting off the couch, I walk into the bathroom to pee.
Never say never.
Huh. Weird. Those are the same exact words a friend of mine used. I pull down my leggings and my knees go weak. I stare and stare. There's a rushing sound in my ears. It drowns out my cousin's voice. T, I...
What's wrong?
Blood. I gotta go.
Dane. It's taken three glasses of Macallan and two of wine to get me through this dinner without losing my mind. I'm drunk. I had no intention of drinking this much, but these yahoos from the network kept wanting to hear locker room trash talk, and the only way I could stomach telling them was a few drinks to chase the bitter taste away. I'm not that man anymore. I don't want anything to do with the guy I once was. All I want to do is crawl into bed with the woman I love, sink into her body, and let her hold me. I get it now. I get why my father spent the better part of his life wanting a woman that was never worthy of him. I get why Noah hasn't touched one in ages while he pines for the one he lost. I get why Jay would dump me in a heartbeat to spend alone time with Nyla. I get why men go nuts when they fall in love. Because it's fucking worth it. I'm flying so high half the time, even these network idiots don't bother me as much as they should. I had no idea what I was missing until Stella happened. She's everything to me. My comfort and my desire. My good time and my meaningful moment all wrapped into one short, sexy package. If somebody would have told me one person could be all that and more a mere 6 months ago, I would have called him a fool to his face. I'm not saying it's perfect, or that it's always going to be this easy. Love can inflict some serious damage, no doubt about it. It's a beautiful double-edged blade. It can destroy as easily as it can save you. I've been a witness to the former most of my life. The trick is finding the right person to love and being one lucky son of a bitch. And I did it without even trying. She hasn't said it yet, that she loves me, and it's killing me, but I'm not going to push. I'm not going to give her a reason to pull away because she's scared of her feelings for me. I'll wait it out. I can be patient. And then she said it's too big. And then I said, that's what she said. All three yahoos laugh hard enough to be heard over the crowd, faces turning red while I can barely manage to smile. Under the table, I pull out my phone and glance at the screen. 11:30. It may as well be 4 a.m. Below that, I see a long list of text messages from Stella that I missed. What the fuck? I didn't hear the phone ring over the noise of the restaurant. Excuse me, guys, I gotta make a call. I get up without waiting for an answer and march quickly past the bar.
Dane? Oh my God, long time no see.
A woman's voice rises above the rest. Slim arms snake around my neck, and before I know what's up, Christy is kissing me on the lips. I pry her off and she smiles at me. Eyelids lazy, smile crooked. Drinking isn't the only thing she's been doing. I don't have time to deal with this. Drink some coffee and go home, Christy. You look like shit. She frowns, offended. In another life, I would have made sure she got home safely. Tonight, however, there's only one person I'm concerned with, and it ain't her. Without looking back, I'm out the door, hitting the playback on the first message. I stand on the sidewalk with a phone to one ear and a finger pressed to the other. Shortly after that, I'm sprinting down the street after an available cab. Tires screech and it comes to a hard stop and I slide in. New York University Hospital, I bark, my heart nearly crashing out of my chest. 15 minutes later, I throw a $100 bill in the front seat and jump out of the cab before it can come to a full stop. Crazy man, the cabbie shouts. Even though I'm drunk and my knee hurts something awful, I run through the sliding glass doors of the hospital, almost trip over a man in a wheelchair, and don't stop running until I reach the check-in desk. Stella Donovan, my wife, I say, yanking off my tie and shoving it in the pocket of my suit. It comes out naturally, without thought or hesitation. The chick manning the desk blinks up at me. There's a momentary flash of recognition, which also means she knows I'm not married. I dare this woman to argue in the state I'm in. I dare her. She scans some paperwork and nods.
Yeah, she's here. Driver's license, please,
she says, holding out a hand. Not gonna happen. I don't have time to explain our situation, so I take off down the hall while she shouts after me. As soon as I enter the ER, I spot Delia at the end of the hallway and my steps slow. She frowns, lips drawn into a tight line. This is the epic karmic ass-kicking I knew was coming. This is it. Time to face the consequences like a man. I keep walking until only a few feet separate us. How is she?
Scared. I was going to find out when she can be discharged.
I nod, my nerves balancing on razor's edge. I'm about to take off down the hall when her voice stops me.
She's okay, Dane. So is the baby.
A surge of relief steals my breath away, making me double over with my hands on my knees.
Are you going to be sick?
Give me a minute. I tell her, breathing through my nose. A hand on my back pats twice. After a few deep breaths, I stand back up. How badly did I fuck up?
Nothing you can't fix, if you want to.
She answers with unexpected sympathy. I'll do anything to fix this. Now, if you'll excuse me. She starts to walk away. Hey, Delia. Looking over her shoulder, she meets my gaze. Thank you. She nods, and I run.
Stella. The privacy curtain opens halfway, and there Dane stands. His tie off, hair sticking up in places like he's been running a busy hand through it, expression distraught. I want to kiss that look away.
Baby.
In two strides, he's half sitting on the gurney with his arms around me and his face pressed into my neck.
I didn't hear the phone ring, he murmurs onto the sensitive skin of my throat, the muffled words resonating with pent-up emotion. I wiggle my arms out of his tight grip and wrap them around his neck. It's okay, I tell him, while I finger-comb his hair back into place. I got scared when I saw the spotting, and I couldn't reach you. Pulling away, his big hands cup my face tenderly. Worry flares in his eyes as brightly as a neon sign. I'm glad you're here, I whisper. He looks ready to break apart. It also looks like he's been drinking. Knowing from first-hand experience how these business dinners go, I don't mention it. He's feeling guilty enough without me piling on. It's okay, Dane. I was just being overly cautious.
It's not okay.
His jaw pulses with tension. Any more and he'll grind his teeth to powder.
Not even close. This is not how a man takes care of his family.
Before I can address that ludicrous statement, the curtain opens and a middle-aged woman wearing scrubs walks in.
Mr. Donovan?
Met with Dane's silence, she smirks.
I didn't think so. There are a couple of New York's finest that need to have a word with you.
What's this about? I ask, suddenly worried. Dane tucks a loose strand of my hair behind my ear and places a quick kiss on my lips.
I ran in here without checking in.
His expression gets intense.
I told them you're my wife.
We stare at each other as his words hang between us. Husband and wife? I don't get the immediate urge to puke, run away, or scream foul. Interesting. For a while, I stare at the words, try them on for size. They seem to fit.
I...
Dane starts. A cough interrupts, cutting off the rest of whatever he's about to say.
It's time to go, whoever you are.
He's my husband. The words come out without a hitch, my voice firm and commanding.
I'm kind of proud of myself. Proud enough to smile.
Dane's eyes spark with what could be construed as hope or joy.
Well, I would like to construe it as hope or joy. It's definitely something good, though. Was everything okay with my wife's tests? Can she go home?
As he speaks, his undivided attention remains on me. A smile of shared understanding curves his sexy lips.
I'll check with the attending doctor.
At the edge of my vision, I can see the nurse's suspicious gaze slide back and forth between us.
I suggest you come with me and talk to the police, sir.
Dane gets up and I grab his hand. His eyes fall. At first, he stares at our entwined fingers. Then they slide up to my face. He bends over and kisses me. Heartfelt. True. As brief as it is, those sentiments are there, speaking louder than words ever could.
Be right back.
It seems the entire vaunted New York City Police Department is a big fan of the great Dane Wilder. After he left me, I got dressed, having been given the green light to go home by my OBGYN. In the meantime, Dane explained the situation to the two young officers standing outside my room. Autographs were handed out, paraphernalia promised. By the time we were walking out of the hospital, half the nursing staff was lining up to stare at the man with his arm hanging around my shoulders. I forget that Dane is a public figure. The whole idea of being involved with an honest-to-goodness celebrity is still a very foreign concept to me. One I like to pretend doesn't exist. Truth be told, dwelling on it makes me nervous. The first time I've truly fallen in love, and it has to be with a man that's gorgeous, talented, wealthy, and famous. Basically, this is a worst-case scenario for me. The next day, while I'm sitting at my desk at work, I turn on my computer and the search bar pops up. A thumbnail of trending news catches my sight. I click on it and freeze.
It's Dane, in the suit he wore last night. He's kissing a tall, blonde woman. Like I said, worst-case scenario. One I have good reason to fear, it seems. Chapter 26. Stella. Tonight is the grand opening of the rec center. The foundation is throwing a big celebrity party for community leaders, the council members, and Dane's NFL friends and teammates. Leaning against the open doorway of the bathroom, the man of the hour watches me get dressed. His hazel eyes flood with undeniable appreciation. It's been 10 days since the hospital incident, and he hasn't said a word about the blonde. I'm not going to chase him with a skillet. I will not do it. Or shout like a fishwife, even if at times I want to. And trust me, I want to. I haven't even told Delia, lest I find a freshly dug grave in the garden and Dane missing. For once, I'm not going to assume the worst. He deserves the benefit of the doubt. Instead, I channeled that energy into something good. I started making arrangements for the nonprofit organization I intend to run. After New Year, I'll give Ira notice. Knowing his ability to read my mind, however, I wouldn't be surprised if he already knows. Sitting on the edge of the bed, I slowly roll on a pair of black stockings.
Lord Jesus, are those stockings?
Pushing off the door frame, he stalks closer. Pantyhose are uncomfortable, I tell him with a sly smile.
I approve.
A few more strides and he's on me, taking my face in his hands and kissing me like a man sentenced to life. I expected the sex to cool, for him to put some distance between us. That did not happen. On the contrary, once the doctor said it was safe to resume relations, he was on me with no less passion.
If you don't stop being so goddamn sexy, we're gonna have a problem.
He pushes me back on the bed and settles between my thighs, only our underwear separating us. Well, that and the blonde, and his inability to express what he feels for me. Dane, I say between the laughter, we don't have time.
We have a lot of lovemaking to make up for now that Pops is gone.
His voice fades as he maps a trail of kisses up the side of my neck, his hands sliding along my body, petting and squeezing all the right places. Lovemaking? I don't go there. Nope, I don't go anywhere near it. Taking a good hold of his hair, I lift his head and search his bright eyes and sexy smile. Nothing on his face indicates that he realizes what he said. Your father left 10 days ago.
I hate being quiet.
Tell me something I don't know. He starts sucking on my throat, nipping and kissing his way from my jaw to my ear.
When I shoot my load into you, it's like a sneak peek into heaven, and I want to celebrate. Thank my maker for making you for me.
That's... I don't know what that is, I remark, biting back laughter that will only provoke him to continue. Smiling, he looks down at me. There's so much adoration in his eyes that the words are out of my mouth before I can stop them. Do you think it will ever end? The mood goes from fun to somber in less than 0 seconds. Every muscle on Dane's body stiffens.
What do you mean, end?
He asks, careful to keep his tone neutral. This, between us, all this chemistry, do you think it ends?
No, baby.
He immediately answers.
I've never felt this way before.
He examines my face, his focus super intense, and Dane intense is a sight to behold.
Have you?
No. Not even close. He smiles then.
You're the best time I've ever had, Shorty.
Sweet. He's always been sweet. But those are not the words I was hoping for.
Can I steal away my girlfriend for a moment?
Dane says to the rec center director, Mr. Donaldson, who is in the midst of explaining all the wonderful programs he has planned for the kids in the neighborhood. The party went off without a hitch. The rec center beautifully decorated, the catering delicious. Close to 25 of his NFL buddies made it. He introduced me to each and every one. It's moments like these that I realize how fundamentally different we are. I would rather sit in a corner and hear Mr. Donaldson's plans down to the minutiae, while Dane thrives in the limelight. I can't help but wonder if it spells doom for us. Without bothering to wait for a reply, Dane drags me away. I give Mr. Donaldson an apologetic look and he smiles back in understanding. That was rude.
I haven't had a moment alone with you since we got here.
Here comes the eye roll. We're not here for alone time. Quite the opposite, actually. As if he hasn't heard a word, he continues to pull me along with purpose. A man on a mission as he guides me through a side door that leads outside. The second the doors are open, the cold hits me like a 2x4. I wrap my arms around my waist. It's the middle of December, and the ground frozen, a thin shell of ice on everything. We reach a small garden that's been prepped for landscaping when the ground thaws, a lonely stone bench its sole resident for now. Dane, it's cold out here. All I'm wearing is a black jersey dress. I'm not exactly dressed for cavorting in these temperatures. Slipping off his suit jacket, he places it over my shoulders. I snuggle into the heat, still clinging to it. I bury my nose under the fabric and take a deep breath of his scent as a tremor racks my body. I'm not sure if it's caused by the cold or his strange behavior. It crosses my mind about a million times that he's dumping me for the blonde. My pulse starts to thrum in my throat. What's going on? My hand automatically covers my swollen tummy, a new habit. One that's become quite common as of late. Taking my shoulders, he guides me to sit on the bench and sits next to me.
It's almost Christmas,
he says absently, as if it's an afterthought. Christmas? Seriously? I'm about to have a nervous breakdown and he wants to shoot the shit about Christmas? All I can do is nod, my energy engaged in staying calm and breathing. Passing out is not an option right now.
I have so much to be grateful for. Almost too much.
He tips his head back, his gaze drifting up at the clear night sky.
It humbles me to be so blessed.
His throat works as he swallows.
Grateful. I'm grateful for everything God's given me. But most of all, you.
He turns to look at me then, his expression solemn, his gaze direct, no sign of guilt or shame.
I want to take you on vacation and keep you so busy you don't want to come home. I want to hold your hand when our child comes into this world. I want you.
His jaw locks. He breathes deeply and he swallows.
I want you to hold mine when I'm old. Would you do me the honor of being my wife?
I don't breathe. I can't even blink. My mind can't process what just happened and operate my body at the same time. When it starts working again, my entire vocabulary is reduced to one word. Marry. He wants to marry me. Dane pulls a little red box out of the pocket of the suit jacket I'm wearing and opens it. Inside the Cartier box, three rectangular diamonds wink back at me. Catching the light from the newly installed security floods, the stones return fire.
The middle stone is the baby that brought us together,
he explains in a low voice.
And the ones flanking are you and me.
I continue to stare, trying to piece together how this could have happened, and I didn't see it coming.
They're not big, but the stones are perfect. Like you are to me.
A switch is flipped, and suddenly synapses fire and connect. My lips part, my heart expands and contracts, and blood rushes in my ears. Tears flood my eyes, welling up in the corners and spill down my cheeks.
Baby,
I hear him say, his voice muffled by all the noise in my head. I look up into his beautiful face and see caution.
You haven't given me an answer.
One moment I'm soaring, ready to throw my arms around him and profess my love, and the next I crash back down to earth, because it hits me all at once. No love. No mention of love whatsoever. Beautiful sentiments expressed beautifully, but no love. Where's the love? I wipe the tears away from my face. I thought you were getting ready to dump me.
What?
He looks as shocked as he sounds.
Why would you think that?
3-month rule, and I saw a picture of you kissing the blonde, Dane. It was all over the internet. He looks confused, so I clarify. The night I went to the hospital. He looks away for a beat. Judging from his expression, he's searching his memory. I know the instant he recalls it.
Christy.
For a brief second, his eyes close, his shoulders drop as he exhales his frustration.
She caught me by surprise and kissed me. She was drunk. High, too, I think.
His expression changes, suspicion present in his narrowed eyes.
Why didn't you say anything?
Why didn't you say anything?
Because I didn't think we had a problem. One stolen kiss from a drunk girl was hardly worth remembering.
A drunk ex-girlfriend.
Hey, look at me.
He says. And I do.
It wasn't worth remembering.
His eyes dart all over my face, searching for a sign of agreement.
You believe me, right?
I do believe him. Dane isn't my father. He's not sneaky cowardice. He's bold honesty. If he were to fall for someone else, he would break it off with me first. I know it in my heart and soul. At my nod, he exhales loudly. Why do you want to marry me, Dane? The question demands to be asked. I hold my breath as he stares back quizzically.
Why?
He repeats, his tone communicating very clearly that he thinks this is a dumb question. Yes. Why?
Because we're great together. Better than great.
His eyes soften. Taking my hands in his, he kisses the knuckles on each one.
The perfect team. Don't you agree?
My heart falls off a cliff. Correction. He pushed it off of a cliff. The perfect team? Is this some kind of joke? My hands slip out of his and my head shuts down, retreating to a place where I'm not completely devastated. This is kind of unexpected. Can I think about it? He takes forever to answer, watching me carefully. I don't give anything away, and neither does he, though it's not a stretch to assume he's not happy. After a curt nod, his eyes move away.
Will you wear the ring at least?
Sensing my reluctance, he adds in a thick voice,
For me.
I don't have it in me to hurt him any more than I already have. I love this man with everything I've got. We'll love him forever, regardless of what happens between us. I nod, and he pushes it onto my finger. Standing, he pulls me up.
Let's get back inside. It's freezing out here,
he says without looking at me. We walk out of the garden hand in hand with a palpable tension the size of an ocean separating us. As soon as we step back into the party room, I realize what's going on. His NFL buddies knew he was proposing. The entire crowd did, by the looks of it. Because as soon as they see us, smiles drop, voices grow quiet, and whispers weave through the crowd.
Did she say yes?
A boy's voice rings out of the silence. Angel Castro pushes to the front of the pack. He takes one look at Dane, and the joy on his face slowly fades away.
Dane. Man, that was an epic fail. I stared at the bottle of Patron in my hand with mixed emotions. Much the same way Stella feels about me, apparently. I sink further into the couch and put my feet up on the coffee table. The minute I do, I hear her telling me it's unsanitary. Except she can't tell me because she ain't here. Made me drive her back to her apartment, and I didn't argue. I need time to clear my head and drink. Not necessarily in that order. The silence in the darkened living room sits like an anvil over my heart. The house I bought and renovated with painstaking care feels like a fucking funeral home without her. I'm about to skip the glass and go straight to drinking from the bottle when I decide to make a call first. The phone rings and rings. When it eventually goes to voicemail, I try again. What? I get on the third ring. The slurred speech gives me pause. Are you drunk? Kinda. What's it to you? I'm not in the frame of mind to deal with this right now. You haven't had more than a beer in 10 years, and you picked tonight to get wasted? What the fuck, Noah? A long stretch of silence happens, long enough that I check to see if he ended the call. Nope. Time ticks away on the screen of my iPhone. I saw Marin. I hear an eternity later. He never talks about her, so this is big news. I told you to stop watching YouTube. Why you want to torture yourself like that? She was here, with that dickhead she's dating, come to visit Rowdy. He's getting worse. Oh, shit. Rowdy is not only Noah's business partner, but also stepped in as a surrogate father when Noah's parents were killed in a car accident. It just so happens he's also Marin's grandfather. This might make you feel better. I proposed, and Stella told me she wants to think about it. Silence again. Then I hear it. The laughter. It starts slow, but picks up speed pretty quickly. Are you shitting me? I wish I was, brother. I wish I was. I run a hand through my hair and tug at the ends. At this rate, the woman is going to make me go bald. His laughter dies down. What happened? Fuck if I know. I got a nice ring and everything. Made it all romantic and shit, and you know I don't do romance. I love her, rips out of me. It feels like if I don't tell someone, I might just explode from the pressure of keeping it down. I love her more than I love myself. I love her so damn much, I don't know what I'll do if she doesn't love me back. I'm in serious danger of turning into my father, is what runs through my mind. Noah doesn't need to know that, though. What? What do you mean you don't know if she loves you back? Didn't she tell you? The question embarrasses me. It takes me a minute to answer. Not yet. That's weird. I saw the way she was looking at you at Jay's place. You told her and she said nothing? I hesitate before answering. Don't know why, but I do. I haven't told her yet. A long, tired exhale comes through the phone. A funny feeling in my gut tells me I may have screwed the pooch on this one.
You didn't tell her.
It's not a question. I get another loud exhale.
Well, no shit, she wasn't jumping up and down at the prospect of marrying a dumb motherfucker like you. I didn't want to scare her away. She's real skittish about it. If love scares her, then she ain't ready for it. Go tell her you love her. Tell her everything you told me and she'll be all right.
His words get inside me and germinate. Thing is, I want to tell her. Hell, I've been wanting to shout it from the top of the Empire State Building for a good long time now. Letting her take the lead on this has been absolute fucking torture, and I'm done with it. I'm sick and tired of waiting for her to say it first. Tomorrow she's gonna hear it, whether she's ready for it or not. My black mood parts, and I remember I'm not the only one hurting. Now, why can't you do that for yourself?
Not the same thing, he grunts. I hurt her the worst way you can hurt a woman. This is my punishment.
There's no point trying to talk sense into him when he's in this state. I wonder if he'll even remember this conversation tomorrow. Do me a favor. If you feel like drinking again, call me first.
Yeah, okay,
he mutters, half asleep already. Love you, boo. The line goes dead. I stare at the bottle of Patron resting on the coffee table. Minutes later, I slam the top back on. Time to make more changes.
Chapter 27 Stella. The next morning, or rather early afternoon, I awaken with a pounding headache. Heartache. Apparently feels a lot like a heavy night of drinking without any of the fun to show for it. I drag my sorry ass out of bed. No shower. Barely wash my face and teeth. I'm listless. That's what I am. Listless. Which is why I don't bother with makeup. Dark circles? So what? Or tidying the rat's nest that is my hair? Who cares? I jam on my yoga pants, pull those suckers over my expanding waistline, and check to make sure I didn't give myself an unsightly camel toe. When I determine that I haven't, I slip on my old, faithful Princeton sweatshirt and my worn-out Uggs. I need coffee. Unfortunately for me, it will be decaf. And my mommy. I don't care what age you are, sometimes you just need your mommy. I drive the new Volvo SUV Dane bought me as a surprise baby gift. Practical. I love practical. I adore all practical things. This man gets me. And I humiliated him in front of his friends and fans. I need to be whipped. Except the same concerns I had last night remain. Nothing has changed in my head. And still no love. At least none forthcoming from him. I dial Dane's number. He doesn't pick up. The message plays on the Bluetooth. He paired my phone for me without me asking. He does nice things like that all the time. There's a special place in hell for me. Hi, it's me. You're screening your calls. Okay. I missed you last night. I just wanted to hear your voice. Then I remember he's doing a guest spot on ESPN today, a test run to see if he'd like to do more. Good luck today. Call me when you can. As soon as I reach my mother's place, she opens the door and rakes me from hair to toes with an expression of disapproval. Yes, I know I'm a hot mess. She opens the door wider to let me in. He asked me to marry him. I hold up my ring finger. Yes, I'm still wearing it. Her face lights up. That's wonderful. I said I'd think about it. Her face goes flat. Then she exhales. No need to wonder what that tired exhale means.
Once again, I'm the dumb girl that doesn't get it, and she's the poor, unfortunate one having to explain it to me. Do you have decaf? Or a gun? Not waiting for an answer, I make my way to the kitchen, where I find Bill having coffee at her kitchen table. In eternity later, gaping, I say, Bill?
Stella, good to see you, sweetheart.
William, will you give us a moment? William? I can't. I just can't. I can't do this. Not today. Hanging on to his coffee cup, he gets up and walks over, plants a kiss on my cheek, pats my arm, and walks out of the room. Bill is here. Having coffee, I say robotically. Mostly to have it confirmed that I am indeed not seeing things.
We'll discuss that later.
How did he take it? Not well. The look on his face haunts me still. I can't even think about it without wanting to vomit. Stella, before you say anything, I feel bad enough already.
Do you love him?
The million-dollar question. Of course I love him. I love him more than I love money or oxygen or my independence. I love him more than all those things combined and rolled up in a warm Nutella crepe. Yes, I love him. And I know he loves me too, even if he hasn't said it. I feel it every time he touches me, every time he looks at me. It's in every tender word and kind gesture. I remember reading something once, that the Japanese believe broken things are more beautiful for the history they tell. They even go a step further, repairing pottery with gold and silver, turning the damage into something precious. Kintsugi, they call it. That's what Dane has done for me. He kintsugi'd me, if that word were a verb, which it isn't. Slowly and gently, Dane filled in my gaps and turned me into a better version of myself. Whatever happens with us, I have him to thank for that. His actions outweigh his lack of words, that much is true. So do the words really matter? What if he gets sick of me, or the spark flames out, or he gets sick of me? My mother is shaking her head before I even finish my riff. Why complicate love with marriage? As a matter of fact, if you really love someone, shouldn't you vow not to marry them? Shouldn't love keep you together instead of a contract? Like the contract that started our story.
That's a very nice speech, Mija. But I know you better than you know yourself.
And I know you're scared of ending up like me. She lifts a brow.
Dane is not your father.
After a profound sigh, she looks away. As much as I loved your father, the man was a coward.
Dane is not a coward.
He is a good man. He is. And we could still crash and burn. She takes her glasses off and rubs the bridge of her nose.
Is he worth it?
Worth what? The risk of a broken heart. The trouble if it doesn't work out. Is it worth losing him if it means protecting yourself? The answer comes to me at once. A broken heart is nothing compared to the loss of him. That loss is one I may never recover from. Yes, I answer with my whole heart, not a single doubt to be found in any corner of it. He is worth it.
Then you have your answer.
The tires of my brand new Volvo SUV screech to a stop in front of the ESPN building in Connecticut. I have no recollection of how I got here, but here I am nonetheless. Once I had my born-again moment, I channeled Danica Patrick and tore out of Camilla's driveway at top speed, getting to Dane and spilling my guts. Throwing myself at his feet and begging him to marry me was all I could think about. The whole Bill and my mother thing? I just can't right now, one crisis at a time. I leave the Volvo at the curb, locked in the fire zone. A few suits loitering in the foyer eyeball me suspiciously as I march double time through the glass doors, head held high. It's then I recall that what I'm wearing basically makes me look like a hard-up, nutso stalker. Throw my glasses in the mix, and it's safe to say I may have some trouble getting in to see him. The two men at the check-in desk try and fail to keep their expressions neutral. I'm here to see Dane Wilder. Chin lifted, I nonchalantly take my glasses off, doing my best to project authority. The initial blurriness, however, makes me squint and blink repeatedly. Security guard number one's expression remains unmoved. What I can make of it through the blur, that is.
Are you family?
The tone of security guard number two indicates that he doesn't believe so. I'm his girlfriend. I mean, fiancé. Now they definitely don't believe me. This is an emergency. Just call him, would you? The two exchange a look.
He's busy at the moment. Would you like to leave a message?
I pat down my body. I don't even know why I do it. I usually keep my cell in the inside pocket of my purse. But I'm not thinking rationally right now, and I have no idea where my purse is. Make the call and tell him Stella is here, I demand. In my defense, as Billy Crystal famously once said, when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. Stone-faced, the security dumbass makes no call. That's when I lose it. I'm his baby mama. Call him. Security dumbass number one picks up the phone.
I have Estella here for Dane Wilder. Says she's the baby mama. Okay.
He hangs up the phone and simply stares.
I'm about to go Kong on this guy.
Hormones. No court of law would convict me.
Third floor.
Gloating, I give them the fakest smile I can muster before marching through the security turnstile. Once I get to the third floor, I grab a young PA dashing by. She points me in the direction of Dane's dressing room. Not before she gives my clothes a queer look, however. My heart pounds inside my chest. For the first time since I got in the car, I have doubts about how I'll be received. I humiliated him in front of an audience. I wouldn't blame him for not wanting to see me. A wave of nausea hits me at the mere recollection of it. At the threshold I hover, nerves turning me into a coward. Dane's voice drifts out of the open doorway. I peek inside the dressing room and find him sitting in a director's chair facing a large mirror. He's in a white dress shirt and navy slacks, his hair forced into one of those hipster side parts. My heart triples its beat. Speaking loudly, it's saying, I love him. I love him in ways I never thought possible. An attractive blonde in a tight pencil skirt places her hand on the armrest and leans forward, her breasts far too close to my man's face.
What are you doing after this? Want to get a drink? The blonde murmurs suggestively with a sly smile.
Dane shifts in his seat, leaning back.
No.
He smiles stiffly. She giggles.
Playing hard to get.
His head tilts, cynicism written in his phony expression of amusement. I know what's coming next. He's gearing up for his country boy routine.
I'm in love, darling. Love, love, love. I aim to be her husband, and I'm a one-woman kind of guy. She's life for me. Get it?
Love? My knees almost buckle.
I'm just looking for a little fun, nothing more,
she fake whines. I watch with rapt attention as the blonde walks her fingers up his thigh. His hand shoots out and wraps around her slender wrist, stopping her progress to his groin. It's then I notice the big rock she's wearing, so large it's hanging off to the side of her hand.
I said no,
he grinds out, his jaw ready to crumble under the pressure. I know this man. I know what's in his heart. I know what's in his soul. I didn't need proof of his devotion, but I'm not going to lie. It feels damn good to witness. He scoffs, eyes narrowed at her.
You know, it's women like you that made me lose faith in all women.
Then why get married? It's obvious you're not the marrying type. She says in a voice that screams, let's stop talking and get naked. No offense. Pushing her off, he stands. Legs squared, body rigid, he looks even bigger, his anger fueling a growth spurt.
'Cause she restored it. And you're right about me not being the marrying type. I've never even been remotely tempted until I met her.
He yanks the makeup bib from around his neck and throws it down on the chair. I step into the doorway and they both turn to face me. At any other time in my life, I would have been mildly uncomfortable standing before this attractive woman sporting the pooch, the demented hair, and the ratty sweatshirt. But not today. Not anymore. Because today, the man she was trying to seduce is staring at me with such undisguised lust and longing on his gorgeous freaking face that it makes me want to weep. As a matter of fact, here come the tears. The blonde, whoever she is, puts two and two together and lowers her eyes in guilt. Excuse me, she mutters, scooting past me and out of his dressing room. The world suddenly gets small. Only him and me and the love between us. The air crackling with anticipation, with the promise of something magical. I'm a pragmatist. Always have been. I'm not prone to bouts of whimsy. I don't harbor any romantic notions. But this moment, I'm pretty sure it's moments such as this one that incited Rumi and Neruda and Helen Fielding to write. The weight of Dane's stare keeps me anchored in place while he slowly walks toward me.
It's true. All of it.
The rasp. The rasp is back.
I'm not playing with you anymore. This Mexican standoff ends right now.
His hand slashes through the air.
I'm crazy about you. I'm 35 years old, and I...
He sucks in a breath, hand over his heart, nostrils flaring.
I'm in love for the first time in my life. I've never felt like this.
I launch myself, hooking my arms around his neck, my legs around his waist, holding back nothing. There's no way I can wait another minute to hug him and kiss him and shower him with love. There's no man more deserving. While his hands grip my ass, squeezing and pressing me against the growing bulge under his trousers, I sink my hands in his hair and kiss him with everything I've got. For being the man I never could have imagined he could be. For being everything I want and need. For being mine, and only mine. I'm 34 years old and I'm in love for the first time in my life, I manage to say, voice cracking. And I'm crazy about you, too. The tension drains out of his body. He kisses me then, soft and sweet, so sweet. I can carry the load, Dane. I can do it all by myself.
I know you can, baby.
He murmurs close to my lips. Dane's thumb gently runs across my cheek, wiping away the last of my tears.
You're my Wonder Woman.
But I don't want to. I'm quick to add, I really don't want to.
And you don't have to. Let me carry your load.
If it were at all possible for me to love this man any more right now, I would. Which it isn't. Not when he already owns all of me. Every hope and desire, every fear and insecurity. I've turned them all over to him, to remain in his safekeeping for as long as he wants them. And I hope it's forever.
Okay, I say, exhaling all the worry I've been carrying since the moment he proposed. And I'll carry some of yours.
That's a great plan,
he replies, his deep voice loaded with dry amusement.
We'll carry each other's loads.
Laughter rises up, as it always does when I'm with him, because he's taught me to find joy where I never saw any before, to be present in the moment. I don't want to miss anything, not when I'm having the time of my life. He grins, wide, bright, and full of hope. His lips are about a hair's breadth from pressing against mine when he stops.
I love you. I love you so much, Stell. Will you marry me?
Yes, I say, holding his precious face in my hands. Even though it'll make me sound like a porn star, I'd be honored to be your Mrs. Wilder. No hyphens necessary. A dark blonde eyebrow arches wickedly.
Speaking of which, let's go home and practice.
Don't you have to shoot your segment?
I'm not cut out to sit behind a desk.
Then I'd love nothing more. My fingers rake through his stubborn hair. He breathes in deeply, his lashes fluttering. Except you, baby, I happily admit. I love you the most.
Glad that's settled. Now be still while I kiss you.
And I do as I'm told, because this man is worth it. Epilogue. Stella. I hear, coupled with a deep exhale. Big hands squeeze my boobs, which are ridiculously swollen and sensitive. I bite my bottom lip and breathe through it, preparing myself for what comes next. A hard, long object rubs up against my butt. Dane, wake up. More masculine grunting. The hand moves down, down, down. His fingers brush back and forth between my legs, and now I'm sweating and panting. I don't want to be turned on. I don't have time to be turned on. This is the big day, and there's lots to do. Those same busy fingers exploring between my legs push down my underwear.
Mush-muff.
Dane, wake up.
Ooh.
Are you awake?
Am now.
You almost impaled me in your sleep again.
I did.
Those fingers get busy again, and a soft kiss mysteriously lands on my neck. I chuckle and he scoots closer, rolling his hips against my butt. The man has many talents, but lying isn't one of them. We can't. We don't have time.
Give me 2 minutes. And I'll make it worth your precious time.
I don't know how you ever passed math. Your idea of 2 minutes is closer to 20.
So you don't want me to do this?
The sexy manipulator intones. I gasp and press harder into what his skilled hands are doing.
Or this?
Stop talking and hurry up, damn you. Ma! Bang, bang, bang. The knob of our locked bedroom door rattles. Yeah, we read all those parenting books that tell you not to do that.
Then we threw them all in the trash and came up with our own rule book.
Nicholas put his boogers on me again!
A 7-year-old shouts.
Fuck.
My husband whisper growls.
No, I didn't. He's lying. Ma! And shut up. I'm telling. Mommy, Jacob spilled juice on the couch,
says the 6-year-old.
Fuck. I whisper growl back.
Mommy, Nicholas hit me.
That's enough,
comes booming from the man lying next to me. I'll be out in a minute. I'm getting dressed. It won't be a minute, not even close. We lie to the kids a lot. I know you're not supposed to do that either, but you try dealing with my boys. True to his word, Dane spawned a couple of Hellraisers. Although in his defense, they are terribly cute and sweet when they're tired. Dane rubs my swollen belly. Then he leans down and kisses it.
Lord, I know you and I don't talk much, but I beg you, show a man some mercy and let this one be a girl. I'll do anything, God. Anything.
Feels like a boy, babe. Gold-flecked hazel eyes lift to meet mine. At the pained expression, I add, I'm sorry.
Let's think positive. And if my prayers aren't answered, we can always...
He sighs tiredly.
I don't know. Quietly put him up for adoption. Maybe we can do a baby swap with a nice couple living in China.
Mommy!
More rattling of the knob.
Maybe not. It could be construed as an act of war.
My husband groans. And then I laugh. Deep, belly laughing, as I'm prone to do around him. Time has only made him better, distilled all his wonderful qualities. He found balance in his new careers, splitting his time between running the foundation and as football analyst for the networks. The desk didn't work, but he's television gold reporting from the sidelines. As for me, I found everything I needed in the people I love, in the non-profit I founded, in helping people that were once like me and my family, in desperate need of guidance from someone they can trust. I brushed the hair out of his eyes. Are you nervous? He smiles back at me and shakes his head. The gladiators are retiring his number today, the gold jacket calling from the near future. Is it like being knighted? Do I call you sir now?
Only in bed.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? I murmur, sinking my fingers into his thick hair and pulling his lips to mine.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to know who came up with the idiom falling in love. Falling implies losing your stride, stumbling, crashing. When in fact, you don't fall at all. You grow into it. And I have grown. I've become a better person for it. A better mother, a better mate, a better me. Growing in love with Dane Wilder is the single most important thing I've done in my life. We didn't need marriage to keep us together. The love that thrives between us would have carried us well into old age. But that certificate is a testament to the choices we've made. I carry his name proudly. I choose him. And I do it again every day for the rest of our lives. This concludes Baby Maker by P. D'Angelico, narrated by Kasha Kensington and Iggy Toma. Copyright 2018 by P. D'Angelico. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with P. D'Angelico and was produced in the year 2019 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.